Dina d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
Workers to be united to safeguard national wealth and protect workers' rights. Indonesia urges Israel to comply with obligations to the United Nations. People's schools use multi-entry curriculum systems. And now the news and details. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto delivers a strong message on the International Workers' Day, emphasizing unity, workers' rights, and fair distribution of national wealth. Ofra has the details.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto extended his greetings on the International Workers' Day to all Indonesian workers in his speech on the first day in Jakarta. In his remarks, the president called for strong cooperation between the governments and the people to protect and ensure that the nation's wealth is shared by all Indonesians.
Selamat Hari Buruh Internasional. Mayday, semoga Tuhan maha
Happy International Workers Day. Mayday, may the Almighty God protect us all.
Semua
let us continue working together. I ask for your support. I ask for your help. Together, let's safeguard the people's wealth, our national wealth, the wealth of the people, and the country must be enjoyed by all Indonesians.
Oleh seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
On the same occasion, President Prabowo also announced a plan to form the National Workers Welfare Council as a gift to workers on Labor Day.
Saya ingin memberi hadiah kepada kaum buruh pada hari ini.
I want to give a gift to the workers today. I will immediately form a National Workers Welfare Council, which will consist of all top labor union leaders from across Indonesia. Their job is to study the condition of workers and advise the president which laws are problematic, which ones don't protect workers, which regulations are not right. They will give things to me and we will fix them immediately.
Dan segera akan kita perbaiki.
The president also stated that his state is a clear sign of the government's commitment to promoting workers' welfare and protections as part of a broader agenda for inclusive and fair national development.
Secretary General of the International Trade Union Confederation Asia Pacific emphasized the need for fair and inclusive labor regulations. Ofra has the details.
Secretary General of the International Trade Union Confederation Asia Pacific, Sida, emphasized the importance of collaboration in creating fair and inclusive labor regulations. He delivered this message during his speech at the International Workers' Day celebration on first day in Jakarta. In his remarks, Yoshida also reaffirmed Confederation's full support for the struggles of Indonesian workers.
International Trade Union Confederation, ITUC, we remain steadfast in its support for the struggle of you, Indonesian workers. Following the Constitutional Court decision, it is very crucial that we collaborate with the government and employers to develop new labor law that is fair, inclusive, and protect fundamental rights of all workers.
Furthermore, Yoshida said that the success of this year's May Day celebration would not have been possible without the unity and solidarity of all Indonesian workers. He also expressed his gratitude for participation and enthusiasm of everyone involved in organizing the 2025 International Workers' Day.
Indonesian Minister Foreign Affairs Sugiono delivered an oral opinion before the International Court of Justice in The Hague, the Netherlands, in relation to the presence and activities of the United Nations, other international organizations and third states, and in relation to the occupied Palestinian territory. On the occasion, Indonesia urged Israel to comply with its obligations to the UN as a third state operating in Palestine. Amir Abdulmi has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono Wednesday urged Israel to comply with its obligations to the United Nations, internationalizations, and third states operating in Palestine. In an oral opinion delivered at the International Court of Justice at the Advisory Opinion Conference Session in The Hague, Sugiono said that this obligation arises based on international law and the UN Charter, which stipulates that Israel has an obligation to respect, protect, and assist the UN, both assets, offices, and UN personnel, wherever they are, including in this case in Palestine. According to him, the step of obstructing, even prohibiting UN organizations, such as United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, or UNRWA, and other international organizations from operating to provide humanitarian assistance, is a violation of the obligation.
I wish to stress that as a failure to perform the above-mentioned obligations would result in the suffering of innocent civilians, particularly the vulnerable groups such as the elderly, women and children, and Israel's non-fulfillment of those obligations constitutes a violation of human rights obligations.
Furthermore, Sugiono said, as the occupying power, Israel also has an obligation under international law, including humanitarian law and human rights law, to protect civilians in Palestine. The occupying power is obliged to guarantee the basic needs of the Palestinian people, guarantee their basic rights, including the basic rights to access health, education, welfare, and other basic rights. International law has guaranteed that basic facilities for health and education facilities must not be damaged, let alone destroyed. Indonesia, through Foreign Minister Sugiono, emphasized that Israel has failed to fulfill these international obligations. The action of prohibiting the operation of UNRWA, prohibiting humanitarian assistance for the people of Gaza from the UN and various other parties, has proven that Israel does not comply with international law.
Indonesia Foreign Minister Sugiono highlights the right to self-determination held by the Palestinian people. Before the International Court of Justice in The Hague, the Netherlands, he said that the Palestinian people are currently unable to exercise their rights to self-determination due to Israel's failure to fulfill its obligations as the occupying powers. Amir Abdulmi will deliver his reports.
Israel's failure to meet its obligation has resulted in the Palestinian people being unable to exercise their basic rights as a nation, including the right to self-determination. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Sugiono, before the International Court of Justice in The Hague, the Netherlands, on Wednesday. Based on the Fourth Geneva Convention, Israel, as the occupying power, is bound by the obligation to ensure the provision of basic supplies, accept and facilitate relief schemes, maintain medical services, and protect humanitarian personnel, not conduct any forms of collective punishment, and not forcibly transfer and deport civilian population.
This honorable court has repeatedly and unequivocally stated in the 2004 Wall Opinion, as well as the 2024 Legal Consequences Opinion, that Palestinians have the right to self-determination. This opinion has also been exemplified by a multitude of resolutions of the United Nations.
Furthermore, Sugiono said that the reality has shown the opposite. According to him, the world has witnessed the systematic destruction of civilian infrastructure and hospitals in Gaza, which makes life impossible. According to him, this action actively hinders the spread of the Palestinian people and hinders their right to determine their own political, socio-economic, and cultural status.
Indonesia hopes the International Court of Justice can issue a bare advisory opinion besides and decisions and become a reference for the world community to resolve the humanitarian disaster in Palestine. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono said the decision was also needed to strengthen international law. Amir Abdulli has the details.
Indonesia encouraged the International Court of Justice to issue a legal edict regarding Israel's failure to fulfill its obligations as a member of the UN and as an occupying power. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono said that a legal opinion needs to be issued, one of which is to guarantee the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination. In an oral statement delivered at the International Court of Justice at the advisory opinion hearing session in The Hague, the Netherlands, Wednesday, Sugiono said that the ICJ has the authority to issue a legal opinion requested by the UN General Assembly. Indonesia, through Sugiono, also emphasized that there is no reason whatsoever that can prevent the ICJ from issuing the legal opinion.
Indonesia respectfully appeals to the honorable judges that international law must prevail and justice is rightfully delivered. This court opinion will provide much needed guidance to the international community on how to reinforce the primacy of international law to solve the worst man-made humanitarian catastrophe of the century the Palestinian people continue to endure.
Foreign Minister Sugiono delivered an oral statement before the International Court of Justice hearing in The Hague. According to him, Indonesia's participation in the legal process at the ICJ confirms Indonesia's support for Palestinian independence. He said that the world needs to take real action to stop the ongoing acts of violence that have caused a humanitarian crisis. Indonesia also emphasized that the two-state solution is the only way out that must be fought for to establish peace and resolve the conflict in Israel and Palestine. Sugiono hopes that with input from the Indonesian government and other countries, the advisory opinion of the ICJ panel of judges can be determined fairly and become a reference for enforcing international law in handling the protracted humanitarian disaster in Palestine.
Indonesian Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf revealed that Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto requested that the implementation of People's School in 53 locations to be planned carefully and right on target. This was stated by Saifullah when giving a press statement after meeting the President at the Presidential Palace Complex, Jakarta, on Wednesday. Saifullah said that the location of the People's School would likely to increase, and because currently the Ministry of Public Works is conducting a survey of several additional locations, he also explained that the People's School is intended for poor families, especially those who are included in the category of extreme poverty or are in Desa 1.
Which one? The purpose of establishing this people's school is firstly intended for poor families, extremely poor families, underprivileged families, families who belong to Desa 1. Desa 1 is extremely poor and poor.
Saifullah Yusuf further conveyed the president's hope that students' recruitment in people's school would be carried out seriously and free from deviations. He also explained that the government is also preparing to build public schools in 200 locations this year. According to him, the school will be built in districts, cities, or provinces that meet the requirements such as land availability, being a poverty base, and meeting other supporting needs. People's schools will use a multi-entry system where students do not have to enter in the same academic year and do not have to start from the same grade. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Abdul Muti in a press conference at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, on Wednesday. For the curriculum, as we have previously stated, we use a multi-entry system. Multi-exit, meaning the student do not have to enter in the same academic year. They can enter at any time according to their readiness, and then they also do not have to start from the same grade. Maybe some start from grade 1, some start from grade 2, or grade 3. Abdul Muti further explained that the design of this multi-entry curriculum is more flexible because it allows students to learn according to their ability level and previous educational background. Because all students study in the dormitory, according to Abdul Muti, there is possibility those with fast material mastery will finish their education faster than the others. Abdul Muti added that the ministry will recruit teachers, principals, and education personnel for people's schools using a recruitment scheme through state civil apprentice teachers and government employees with work agreements. The religious attached of the Malaysian embassy in Jakarta, Muhammad Shamsuri bin Ghazali, said Malaysia could learn from the Istiqlal Mosque, Indonesia National Mosque, in an episode of Voice of Indonesia's podcast on Wednesday. Shamsuri highlighted how Istiqlal annually hosts Indonesia's Independence Day celebrations with the presence of religious leaders from diverse backgrounds.
Every year, I'm invited to the celebration of Indonesia's Independence Day and how the Grand Imam at the time, Professor Nasir bin Umar, Minister Organized Festival Event, attended by interfaith leaders. It's perfect, extraordinary, and I think we can have that yet in Malaysia.
Shamsuri added that such examples of religious harmony could inspire efforts to strengthen interfaith tolerance in Malaysia. And that's the news from Voice of Indonesia, Jakarta. And coming up next, here is commentary entitled International Labor Day Commemoration and Commitment to Fight for Workers' Welfare to be delivered by Anna Prijayakasi.
Today's commentary is on International Labor Day Commemoration and Commitment to Fight for Workers' Welfare. International Labor Day, also known as May Day, is celebrated every May 1st in various countries around the world. May Day is an important moment for the working class to convey messages and demands for rights that need to be fought for to be disseminated. In Indonesia itself, International Labor Day was first celebrated on May 1st, 1920. At the time, even though it was still under Dutch colonial rule, unions and workers have demonstrations and strikes to fight for their rights. The very poor working conditions in the plantation and industrial sectors encourage them to take action to demand change. During the Dutch colonial period, workers and labor unions often experienced exploitation and oppression by Dutch employers. Inhumane working conditions, low wages, and the absence of occupational health and safety guarantees made workers and labor unions felt the need to fight for their rights. In today's era, according to the president of the Confederation of Indonesian Trade Unions, Said Iqbal, the commemoration of May Day is a momentum for workers to voice their hopes. Workers not only demand, but also offer a path to social justice for all people. The commemoration of Labor Day this year, which was held at Monas Square, Jakarta, was an important and special moment because it was attended by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, along with several ministers, members of parliament, and other high-ranking officials. Their presence was accompanied by the President of the Confederation of All Indonesian Trade Unions and President of the ASEAN Trade Union Council for the 2023-2026 period, Andi Gani Nenawea. In a speech in front of the workers, President Prabowo Subianto conveyed the government's commitment to fighting for workers' welfare and improving harmonious industrial relations. On this year's Labor Day commemoration, there are six points collaboration, the demands of the workers can be realized. Harmonious working relationships, as well as mutual respect and benefit, can run well. It was common three.
Yeah.
the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in nine language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and by streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Music and Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, where you are about to listen to Indonesian Wonder, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, the sparkle of the sun that slowly rises in the sky, or commonly called sunrise, has a magical power that can make anyone come to watch it. One of the best places to enjoy the beauty of the sunrise is at Puntuk Sepuluh Hill in Yogyakarta, Indonesia. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we take you to Puntuk Sepuluh Hill, one of the best spots to watch sunrise, with the background of Mount Merapi, Merbabu, and see the magnificent Borobudur Temple in the morning, which is surrounded by a sea of mist. Puntuk Sepuluh is a hill about 400 meters above sea level, located in the Menoreh Mountains. Listeners, if you want to witness the beauty of Borobudur at dawn, it is recommended to arrive at this place before 5 a.m. local time. The peak of Puntuk Sepuluh is a large courtyard surrounded by a guardrail. In this place, there are houses on stilts, gazebos, and wooden chairs that can be used to sit while waiting for the sun to rise. By walking up the hill for 15 minutes, your tiredness will be paid off. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary, invites you to speak in the Indonesian language.
Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is
Di Pulau Sangalaki. Di Pulau Sangalaki,
which means on Sangalaki Island. Stay tuned. You are listening to conversations entitled
Penyu Penyuan,
which means turtle toy. The conversations took place between Chris, an Australian blogger, and the conversations officers on Sangalaki Island. Borobudur Regency is Kalimantan Province. Chris tells us that he has never held a turtle before. Let's listen to their conversations.
Pulau Sangalaki ini terkenal sebagai tempat konservasi penyu. Di sini pengunjung, terutama anak-anak, bisa berinteraksi dengan tukik atau anak penyu.
Seru ya? Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu berjuang dari plastik. After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly, and you can repeat it after me.
Waktu kecil? Waktu kecil,
which means childhood.
Saya,
which means I.
Hanya,
which means only.
Bisa bermain,
which means can play.
Dengan,
which means with.
Penyu-penyuan,
which means turtle toy.
Dari plastik,
which means from plastic.
Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik. which means as. Tempat konservasi. Tempat konservasi.
Which means
conservation site. Penyu. Penyu.
Which means turtle.
Pengunjung. Pengunjung.
Which means visitor.
Anak-anak. Anak-anak.
Which means children.
Berinteraksi. Berinteraksi.
Which means to interact.
Tukik. Tukik.
Which means hatchlings.
Anak penyu. Anak penyu.
Which means turtle hatchlings.
Seru. Seru.
Which means fun. In the conversations, you hear this statement.
Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik. Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik.
Which means, when I was a child, I could only play with plastic turtle. In this statement, the word
penyu-penyuan, penyu-penyuan
means a toy that resembles a turtle or simply a turtle toy. In Indonesian, to express the meaning of a toy that resembles or imitates a certain object, the word that expresses the object is repeated and given the suffix "-an". For example,
mobil-mobilan, mobil-mobilan,
which means a car toy or a toy that resembles a car. Now let's listen to the other examples, the words that mean imitations of objects in other sentences.
Mobil-mobilan, mobil-mobilan,
which means car replicas or a car toy.
Anak-anak senang bermain mobil-mobilan. Anak-anak senang bermain mobil-mobilan.
Which means children like to play with a car toy.
Rumah-rumahan, rumah-rumahan,
which means toy's house.
Ibu membeli rumah-rumahan untuk anak perempuannya. Ibu membeli rumah-rumahan untuk anak perempuannya.
Which means mom bought the toy's house for her daughter. Similarity Island is located in Borau Regency, East Kalimantan Province. The 280-hectare island is home to hawkbills and green turtle conservations. The island is a habitat for hawkbill and green turtles because these turtle species prefer for sandy beaches as nesting sites that are free from sound and light sources and human presence. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example conversations once again.
Pulau Tengah ini terkenal sebagai tempat konservasi penyu. Di sini pengunjung, terutama anak-anak, bisa berinteraksi dengan tukik atau anak penyu.
Seru ya, waktu kecil saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu berjuang dari plastik. Listeners, that was this week's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversations entitled
Penyu-penyuan, penyu-penyuan,
which means turtle toys. Hopefully today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranoff.
Thank you for your attention.
Sampai jumpa.
Listener, right now you are going to listen to Music Corner, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.